Stay tuned for Salamat.
WORT 89.9 FM Madison has been streaming since the turn of the century, but the best way to tune in is on the WORT app. The WORT app allows you to listen to our live stream or archived shows anywhere you can use your phone. It features sections covering the latest news, music happenings, and talk stories, as well as a listing of our podcasts and a current playlist. And you can access and track through our archives seamlessly. You can connect to our social media pages or send us a message through the app or fall asleep listening to WORT with our handy sleep clock. Download the app from Play Store for your Android or from the App Store for your Apple devices. Interact and listen to your favorite community radio station with the WORT app, all from the comforts of phone.
In Arabic, we are known to say "Ibrak ayamak bitanfiz kalamak."
Translation: bless your days when you live up to your words.
That's right. If you fulfill your promises, you have that little weight lifted off your chest. And I say that after promising people a bunch of things I'm a little behind in. Yes, honey, I'll paint that room. That was last May.
Oh, I see.
I see.
So this proverb, you included this today, obviously, as a reminder to yourself.
No, actually, as a reminder to our listeners who made a pledge last week to support the station, that once they get that little blue thing in the mail, that they should yank out their checkbook and fulfill their promises.
Because
nothing clears your conscience than paying off your debt. Well, it's not debt yet because, you know, it's a pledge.
It's a pledge, yeah.
You said you want to help. So let the walking do the talking. Wait, let the walking match the talking.
Let your fingers do the walking over the dial pad.
Do you remember that?
You remember that? 608-256-2001.
That's right. Fitting.
You can call and make a pledge to the station right now, or you can go to wortfm.org. You can pledge online.
Or just say to your phone, yo, Siri, or whoever your phone is. Say, dial up, WRT.
Right.
This way, if you don't want to even let your fingers touch that thing.
If you like to talk to your phone rather than use the touch interface.
Do that. Hey, speaking of talk to your phone, I realize I have a speech impediment when I talk to my phone. Sometimes I'm like, did I say that? Is it me or is the phone reading into my words something that's not meant to be said?
I have noticed the phone does not always seem to get exactly what I'm trying to say.
You too?
That's it.
And you sound very North American-esque. I have a speech impediment, or, you know, accent.
You mean the slight Arabic accent. Speaking of Arabic,
very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are in fact listening to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American news, culture, issues, music, occasionally food when we're not in genocide season.
Mish mawjoud.
Mm-hmm.
Mish mawjoud. Food, mish mawjoud.
And whatever else we happen to get up to during the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Mish mawjoud means not available.
Not here. So not present.
So a gentleman knocks on the door. The Arab child goes up to the front of the house or to the door, opens the door slightly and looks up, and the man says, hey, son, is your father home? And the kid says, oh, let me check. He shuts the door. No one let strangers in. He goes in and then comes back relatively quickly and says, no, dad says he's not home. Baba Al, Mish Hon, Mish Mawjoud. This is a fun word to say, Mish Maujud.
It is. That was actually one of the very first Arabic phrases I learned.
What, were you trying to hide someone?
No, the I was actually, knock on the door? I was calling my aunt and grandmother in Amman from okay. the U.S. And the housekeeper answered.
And then the housekeeper said?
Mish Maujud.
Mish Maujud. Mish Maujud. That's, yes. That's the feminine yes. distinction.
Yes.
Now we learned a couple of things about Arabic language. One,
so,
not available.
Right, Mishmojud, yes, not available.
Or Mish Maujude, if you're talking about mom, not dad.
Right.
Or cash in your pocket, Mish Maujud.
But so, wujud, though...
Existence.
Is okay.
Availability of. And
right.
also
or,
used
or
as
presence,
in...
Right?
Yes, presence and eternal. Like yes. Allah, wujud, the presence of Allah is everywhere, forever, we believe. Speaking of Allah... Today,
I was going to say.
Today is the last day of Shaban. You know what that means. At the tail end of Shaban, the current lunar cycle, today being the 29th day, it will not be more than a 29th day cycle. Shaban gives way to the month of Ramadan. So Ramadan Kareem to all of our Arabic and Muslim speakers out there. It is. It starts at sunset, about an hour. Since the moon was had ended today mm-hmm. before sunset, mm-hmm. we assume that tomorrow is the first day of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is an opportunity for Muslims around the world to reflect, connect, and starve to part of the day, big chunk of the day, in order to hone their skills at patience, sympathy with those who do not have, and obviously body cleansing in a way. Because I've been reading recently, and I do read once in a while, that intermittent fasting is supposedly regenerates certain organs of the body. Maybe they're hallucinating. Not the organs of the body. The researchers have done the work to show that fasting does your body good. And this, by the way, lasts the whole lunar cycle. So the evening of Tuesday, April 9th, if we sight the moon before sunset on that day, then it's to the next day. If not, it's either Wednesday, April 10th, or Wednesday or Thursday, April 11th. Why wishy-washy? We've covered this subject before.
Right, right. Yeah, actually, and I think it was Middle East Eye actually published the official sighting.
They showed the picture?
Well, they don't show. They show the picture of a guy looking through a telescope, looking for the moon. But,
the first yes. sliver of the moon, or yes. the not seeing any moon at all.
Yes, but Saudi Arabia's two holy mosques issued a statement saying the crescent of Ramadan of 1445/2024 has been sighted in Saudi Arabia.
Yep, and countries that follow step or are in good relations with the Saudis will often declare the same. Even if they, right. they could see it, they may not have clouds either, clear mm-hmm. sky, but they still want to side with those who are political waves and energy that runs around. Speaking of political energy, did you hear about the one, but when the one that was with the one, hey, do we have a caller to thank? Oh my, already. Oh, by the way, we're in the middle of a pledge drive.
We are in the middle
and
of
we
a
had,
pledge drive.
We
yes.
have a budget. Our typical budget is way over what we actually get. So we're hoping to hear from 10 people. We're 10 minutes into the show of half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do fast. We need you, ladies and gentlemen, sir, madam. I know you're watching the Oscars. Or wait,
are you
Tonys?
Saying we need to talk? Faster?
No, we need to okay. get more callers. You gave them the number. You gave them the website. You fancy,
I did, yes.
fancy finger dialing thing. But hey, you can call the old-fashioned 608-256-2001. Michael doing an awesome job, and Chally doing a fabulous job hanging out by the phones, eagerly awaiting your anticipation and participation.
Yep.
Is that too much?
No, not at all. And I'd like to remind people, as I usually do during a pledge drive, one of the great things is that you can be what I believe Gil Halstead a little while ago was referring to as an evergreen donor. So you make a pledge, and you have a 12th of your pledge amount withdrawn from your bank account automatically every month. So you can actually pledge a higher amount, and it's not as big of a hit all at once. That's what I do. It's what I recommend to everybody. So your, for example, $60 pledge could come out in $5 installments. It's easy and it is painless to set up, and it is a great way to support the station.
The station, not just Selamat, but the plethora of other programming opportunities or offerings from WORT, from music to news to local perspectives, etc. There's no community radio without you, the community, reaching out into your pockets. And in some cases, it may feel like a lot, but let's put a value on the service that you're receiving. You do that. We're not going to sit here and do math and say, you heard us on Tuesday for a couple hours and Thursday for half an hour and on the way to work and in the bicycle. Maybe people have a radio on their bicycle.
Well, you know, like the public service announcement says,
yeah,
right, you can download the WORT app.
Yeah, now that the phone has killed everything.
Kind of wherever you happen to be, whether you're on your bicycle, on mm-hmm. your motorcycle, mm-hmm. walking in the park, driving in your car, mm-hmm. you can tune in and listen on your phone. Yeah. And if you have a Bluetooth speaker, you can make everyone around you listen on your phone as well.
And while listening to Selamat, you'll take a peek, a sliver of information about the Arab American experience and how we Arab Americans, as part of America as anybody else, feel about some of the local and international policies, especially American foreign policy. A very intense article about Bshara Bahbah, an Arab American featured columnist. The columnist wrote last, was it March 6th? And was posted on the Arab American news site. Madam Vice President, Arab Americans need action, not words on Gaza. And this, I was floored to even hear that on the radio on that day, and I developed my own feeling about it. But since the outbreak of the Gaza war on October 7th, 2023, the Biden administration has been steadfast, complete support, blind support. Oh, yeah, we told him not to kill too many civilians. Oh, but they're killing them. Let's see. But he's not listening to us now. Well, Netanyahu, that is.
Mm-hmm.
But this support permitted and gave the green light to Israel to ravage with their occupation army Gaza savagely, killing right now over 30,000 people and injuring over 72,000, destroying the hospitals that would normally take care of the 72,000 injured, limbs amputated with no anesthesia, families completely missing, the whole family, families having to stay in two different blocks of a city so they don't all die in one bomb. That's what's going on in Gaza today. The rubble in Gaza right now has, they suspect, has at least 50% of what was declared as, so 15,000 people are still missing,
mm-hmm.
on top of the 30 that
mm-hmm.
were killed for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut their food, we cut their medicine, we cut their water, and we cut their fuel. Every time I tune into the radio, I hear one more thing that just drives me nuts. And you've done that too, Ron.
Of course.
You're listening to something and you're screaming at your speakers, you're screaming at the screen, you're screaming at your phone when you see something on any of the information outlets.
Yes.
But this time I thought this has to be the worst thing that could ever happen to the Palestinians in this situation in Gaza, the blockaded Gaza. Airdrops, American sent airdrop of food that actually, parachutes failed and people couldn't get out of the way fast enough, and five people lost their lives waiting for food to come from the sky because the border crossings are completely closed by the Israeli occupation army.
Right.
But our Ms. President, Vice President Ms. Kamala Harris uttered unbelievable words. Immediate ceasefire. I was just like, what? How did she, did Biden approve this? Is she just off the cuff? Was she drinking before?
Well, I mean, she said it, and then, of course, she went on to qualify it pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire. But for at least six weeks, which is what is currently on the table, at least 6 weeks being discussed, and the Israelis walk away from it, and the Palestinians saying, what kind of conditions do we have to, they're not able to fulfill the conditions that Israel puts on the ceasefire. And then she added, this will get the hostages out. You know, our objective is to save the Israeli hostages. Let's not mention the Palestinian hostages held in Israeli prisons, thousands of them, and they're adding thousands or hundreds a day in the West Bank and from Gaza, and get significant amount of aid in. This would allow us to build something enduring to ensure Israel is safe and to respect the right of the Palestinian people to dignity, freedom, and self-determination.
So I was yelling at the radio. I listened to the audio clip that included this. Okay, mm-hmm. And this was said in front of the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama.
Yeah.
She goes on to qualify it. I mean, so we've already said 6 weeks, which is not super helpful. I mean, the implication is, hey, six weeks of food, and then we're just going to start up again, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, if you listen to the way she phrases everything that follows this, she's pretty clearly trying to set out the message that it is up to Hamas to agree to the ceasefire, right? And that the ball is in Hamas's court. And yet, this is coming to us from the Middle East Monitor, right? We have a former senior Israeli official who's basically saying publicly, actually said this on X, Aaron Etzion asserts that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu failed to present a proposal compelling enough for Hamas to accept, and in a conversation with Israeli news, he mentioned significant interventions to reach a deal, but after that, Netanyahu intervened and the war cabinet chose not to proceed. So basically, he's indicating that Netanyahu is attempting to avoid reaching an exchange deal with Hamas.
Yeah, you give them a deal they can't take. They can only refuse.
Right.
That usually happens. Hey, let's thank Carolyn.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you so much for your support of WRT. 8 o'clock Buzz, one of my favorite shows. APA and most music programs. That's a good assortment. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Thank you again for your support. I want to thank
her especially because we're competing tonight. They're competing powers on for attention. You know, the noise out there. Competing power for the attention of our listener with some kind of a Hollywood event going on.
Mm. The Oscars.
Is it?
Is that what we're talking about?
Why do they schedule these dang things right opposite our radio show?
I don't know.
Could they pick a Monday night when you and I are not on the air?
Well, so this is actually a great reason to call now and support the station. We're providing you an alternative to suffering through the Oscars.
To the blah, blah, blah.
That's right. 608-256-2001.
Speaking of blah, blah, blah. Hey, the other day I was celebrating the anniversary of China's Saudi-Iran deal that endured an entire year with no expectations going into it. What do you expect? I really had no expectation. I'm thrilled that the deal is still on. The Saudis and the Iranians are still working out their, you know, the fluster cluck that used to be their relationship. And now and now we must wait. And the news, when the U.S. reported, news outlets in the U.S. were livid. They're upset. You could tell under their breath, dog nabbit, that China got involved in this, not the U.S. Because China, as you may know, is the global producer of everything around us, including including whatever the Iranians and the Saudis are buying from China. So in China's best interest to have customers that are alive, that's one thing, one good thing, they don't kill each other, and that they're buying the frivolous things they don't need with money they don't have so they can impress people they don't like. Everybody's becoming just like America, Rowan.
And so this is another good reason to support the station right here. You can hear Sabi theorizing on international economic and power driving forces. We do actually have a community calendar item. Okay. Before I forget, we sort of bounced off of this last week, and I was woefully unprepared. Didn't have the information at my fingertips. But there has been an ongoing series of events called Read Palestine. Mm-hmm. And the next one, actually the last in the series, the book is These Olive Trees. The reading is taking place Sunday, March 24th at 1 p.m. at A Room of One's Own bookstore at 2717 Atwood Avenue here in Madison.
Nice. And did you know that was International Women's Day the other day?
I did.
Was it the whole day or the whole month? I am, may I say something about my experience? My father passed away when I was fairly young. Mm-hmm. And my mother filled both images or both duties in my life, dad, mom and dad. And when I realized what Americans think about Arab women and Muslim women in general, I'm like, wait, those are not the women I knew.
Not my experience.
Yeah. Not my grandparents. Both of my grandmas were refugees, and they picked up a whole family, and they relocated a couple of times in some cases. And one had 11 children, and one had, we don't know, the ones that survived were 13. There might have been some births that did not survive, but they were a tremendous contribution to this uneven lifestyle. Suddenly, they were doing well, living in a place where they were recognized and they had property, and they suddenly lost everything and had to build anew. But if I ask an American today, say, name one Arab American woman. I'm asking you the wrong one.
wait. You say Arab woman or Arab American?
An Arab American woman that is seen as the, you know, the pinnacle, the epitome of, or that you're familiar with, other than what's her name, the husband of what's his name. Right? But there are many Americans cannot.
If you're talking about Amal Clooney, I think she's actually, isn't she British?
Lebanese.
Right. Isn't she a citizen of England? Though?
Well,
not
blood.
She's not American. Yeah.
But Arab American women have made their mark in America across various fields, but Helena White. I'm sorry, the former press pool.
Helen, reporter,
not Helena,
White House correspondent.
Yes, yep. Her. And yep. She was a pioneer at many levels, being first woman, not even an Arab woman, it was just women. But too often, without recognizing their origins, we can't point a finger at them and say, hey, that's an Arab American example of what an Arab American, Muslim American can be. Mm-hmm. So being in, they're marginalized for being Arabs, therefore it's not as pronounced, and they're marginalized for being women, a double whammy. And,
of course.
And therefore we feel that there are a few reasons to say that there are 3.7 million Arab Americans in the U.S. today, meaning that they're almost, let's say, 1.9 million Arab American women. What are their contributions in addition to being a solid member of the family? Typically, that's the number one responsibility. It's the family, the backbone of the family. Mm-hmm. When dad is gone, mom is there. They have the strength to be that. And, you know, many go unnoticed. And that's, I just wanted to mention that because last week, like you said, we ran out of time. So there are many examples that I could mention here of Arab American contributors that contributed to... was an astronaut, an interior designer, an architect, of many different professions, including very famous family backbones.
Mm-hmm.
That without her in the scene, the husband would not have been.
So
able to
a question on perspective: mm-hmm. Does Queen Noor still qualify as Arab American?
Where is she? Where does she live now?
Well, she came from
king.
Texas. She was raised in Texas, right?
But an Arab, partial Arab, and married a king.
I think her given name was Lisa Halaby.
Yeah. I think she's an Arab American. And last week we featured a well-renowned Palestinian American artist that happened to be under attack right now for her political views.
Samia Halaby.
That's your cousin.
It is.
But the list is huge, and I'm not going to sit and cover that, but they're often, like I said, double marginalized for being two things in this society that are often, we said that before, Arab Americans are the invisible minority because we're not recognized as a...
Well, according to the census, right? We're just white.
Just until recently, yes.
Or Caucasian or whatever. Yes. So I it's funny. I don't normally think of Samia Halaby as Arab American, but she is. I mean, you know, she's been here since 1952, been a U.S. citizen for a long time. But it is also noteworthy. I mean, not just her, but quite a few of the ladies from both the Halaby and the Atala family actually formidable people.
Yes, at many levels. And there, like, here in the U.S., there is an active Arab American Women's Business Council, and a National Arab American Women's Association, and my sister belongs to the Association of Arab American Women Architects. Obscure, very small, nonetheless, they have a platform. They built it, and they built it because there was lack of representation for what they do and what they do. And particularly, like I said, the backbone of the family, which is the first unit of a community.
Speaking of community, welcome
to WRT, 89.9 FM, your community radio. And today, we just got one caller. We're shooting for 10.
We still have 3 minutes left.
I love your optimism, Mr. Atala. You are very optimistic.
Yes.
And in my case, I look the glass three-quarter empty.
I'm Captain Sunshine.
You have earned it. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Hey, speaking of hearing first, do we have a musical interlude?
We do, in fact.
I feel like we didn't get one today.
Yep, we do.
Sneak one in.
And, well, I mean, 3 minute mark, we might be ending the show here.
What?
With the musical interlude. But, so, this is an interesting thing. So, we have, over the last few weeks, kind of, maybe blatantly gravitated towards songs that are, you know, songs of protest against what is happening in Gaza or against the occupation in general. So, celebrated British Lebanese producer Salia took to Instagram to announce that she was not going to perform at Womandelaide today, March 10th. That it's an open-air music festival taking place in Australia. Began March 8th, and it is supposed to run through tomorrow. But she declined to perform following the removal of Palestinian electronic band 47 Soul from the festival's lineup. And 47 Soul is a group that we've featured here several times. So despite being initially invited to perform at this year's Womandelaide, 47 Soul had their invitation revoked earlier last week. Festival organizers claimed that the decision to leave the Palestinian musical band off the lineup was due to their doubts about being able to provide a, quote, suitable, safe environment, end quote, for both the artists and the audience. So in solidarity with the Palestinian group, Salia, who is known for her club-style remixes of Arabic pop and classic Arabic music, chose to boycott the festival. So in honor of her act of solidarity, we are actually going to play a track from her. This is this is her work. This is a remix that pulls some samples from Dammi Falastini, which many of you will be familiar with.
My blood is Palestinian.
Yes, absolutely. So I think before we kick this off, we should probably say so long, farewell, and all of that.
But do we have Tune In Into Hope, Uniting Voices for Palestine, as a another on for the 16th of this month, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It is a an event in a church, Palestine Solidarity Concert. Music by Palestinians, they may even sing.
Where is
it? Oh, it's not in Madison. They have a website. We'll link it to that. But it is definitely here in the U.S. Location, First Congressional Church of Oakland, California. Should we include California in the U.S.?
Are they going to offer a live stream?
Yes, and we will link all of the information on our Salamat Radio, on the Facebook thing.
All right.
The website to the event, that is.
On that note, you have been listening to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab American news, culture, issues, pledge drives, music.
Thank you for those who pledged.
Absolutely.
Ramadan Kareem for our Muslim listeners.
Yes. Call the station, pledge now, 608-256-2001. In the meantime, this is Salia's version of Dammi Filistini.
على أرض تلاقيني أنا نهلي أنا فديهم.